Welcome to this Krana Plus podcast, supporting and educating rural and remote health workers.
Sleep is an essential part of our physical and mental health, and it's what we do for about a third of our lives. It's a complex state with many functions, and it's often affected during stressful times, such as drought or post-disaster. Poor quality sleep can put our health at risk, lead to daytime tiredness, poor concentration, irritability, and in the long term, it's associated with things like diabetes, cardiovascular disease, depression, and anxiety. To discuss both normal and problematic sleep patterns, and importantly, strategies to improve sleep, I'm joined in the Krana Plus studio by psychologist and mental health and wellbeing consultant, Kath Walker. Kath, thanks for your time. Why is sleep so important, particularly for people who are dealing with stress like fire and drought?
It's one of those areas of our life I think we traditionally neglect. We put up with lousy night's sleep. We expect it because it's a stressful time and there's a drought or there's fires or there's floods or there's, you know, problems with the kids. And it actually has quite a significant impact on your health, and it's been underestimated, I think, over the years. But now the research is telling us that it really should be considered a pillar of health, as the nutrition and exercise and other aspects of your physical health. So it's only worse, as we all know. We get under stress, and one of the first things to go a lot of the time is our sleep, because we're lying awake problem solving. I think that's one of the sort of critical things to try and remember. And people sort of think it's just something else you have to put up with, but what we try and emphasise is it's a health concern, and often they can get help with it.
Kath, what happens when sleep isn't good?
Well, that's when, I mean, most people know themselves. If they haven't slept well, they can wake up tired and grumpy and irritable with the kids, et cetera. So, you know that you often don't feel very well when you haven't had a good night's sleep. So that's the sort of common sense aspects of it. But in terms of what we know now, we know it's got a significant sort of effect on your body repair overnight. It's got an impact on learning and memory. We think that long-term, poor sleepers have a greater risk of getting hypertension, heart disease, diabetes. So across the board, it does seem to affect our health, and anything we can do to try and assist ourselves to sleep better is worthwhile.
So what then are the causes of poor sleep?
It's also things like, it's very easy, particularly when you are in a stressful time, that it's easy to have a couple of extra drinks or you have a couple of coffees with mates. It's very easy for just those everyday sort of nutritional things to slip. So you're not eating well, you're not exercising, you're irritable and have your moods have been affected by the conditions. So all those things can cause poor sleep, as well as things like underlying pain and other medical conditions. It's quite a large array of it, which as a clinician, sometimes in trying to assist someone, it can take a bit of tracking down rather than just the obvious, like, oh, you drank too much coffee.
And look, I imagine too, particularly in terms of large stressful events around you, that's going to cause problems as well.
Absolutely. And it's nearly sort of contagious, isn't it? When you've got a lot of people, you're trying to help yourself, you're trying to help them. There's a lot of disruption. If we're talking about sort of ongoing drought or bushfires, I mean, the disruption to your life is profound. So it's more than just the fact that your room's not dark or you're not hot enough or cold enough, something like that. It's you've been affected by the environment and the people around you.
So, Kath, what sort of sleep problems do people experience then?
So a whole array, Drew. You get people coming for assistance at times or going to their GP when they just find they wake all night. They're awake five or six times a night and then they can't get back to sleep. Some people can't get to sleep to start with. Some people wake very early in the morning. Some people have restless legs. Some people are dreaming all the time. There's, again, like many things in health, there's more than one cause. One of the things that I notice when I'm trying to assist people is it's actually quite normal that our sleep goes in these 90-minute cycles. So you go to bed, everything's going well, you fall asleep, it's light sleep, it gets deeper and deeper in this first 90 minutes, and that's what we think of as restorative sort of sleep. At the end of this 90-minute cycle, you wake up and go into this dreaming sleep. If everything's going well, you'll go back to sleep again. But if there's a lot of worry on your mind or a lot of disruption or it's just noisy or you've been on night shift, in that waking, that normal waking phase, you can stay awake worrying and then prevent yourself going into that next 90-minute cycle. So already I'm sort of giving some ideas about some of the ways we often try and help people. And one of the ways to try and help yourself is to wake up in that normal waking period and try and do something that's more conducive to getting back to sleep rather than staying awake.
Well, that then leads to the question, I guess, Kath, of how much sleep then is enough?
There's no set rule. There's, I'm sure you may know some people that seem to be able to work all day and work all night and say they only need 3 or 4 hours. It does seem to be the average for an adult is around 7 or 8, but it varies. Some people use 10, some people use 6, but certainly younger, you know, babies and children are needing a lot more sleep, and adolescents often don't get as much sleep as perhaps they could. They tend to use a couple of more hours than adults, so they might be able to sleep 10 hours. So there's a lot of variation, but the major thing that tells you whether you're getting enough or not is how you feel the next day. So if you have 6 hours, you get up at a time you're quite happy to get up, then you're getting enough sleep.
So just checking that is recording. So, Kath, how do I get better at sleeping then?
Getting better at sleeping is something that takes a bit of practice. A lot of people wish they could just get a good night's sleep when they wanted, but there's a whole lot of complex things that go on to ensure you've created the right conditions to sleep well. And things like making sure that your diet's good, and that includes not drinking too much caffeine. That doesn't seem conducive to a good night's sleep. So you might knock those off late afternoon, or if you're very sensitive to it, not at all. Any of those sort of stimulant things that keep you wired, try and avoid. The same with too much alcohol. So one or two might be okay. It might suit you, but too much more really interferes with that sleep process and can lead you to waking up too early in the morning, things like that. So those sort of dietary things, you know, good quality food and not too much, and those sorts of common sense things. Another thing the body seems to really crave is routine. Well, in disasters and stressful times, it wants to know it's safe most of all. So what you can do really is getting into good sort of routines and going to bed at a similar time and up at a similar time can sort of in a way make the body sort of feel like, oh, okay, this is the time I do this. Find a nice safe place and your bed's nice and warm and comfortable and whatever, and go to sleep. So sort of establish routines. Daytime napping, some people swear by, but research is sort of showing mostly that it's not that good. If you have an hour during the day, you tend not to need it that night, so it throws you again. I think we talked about a little bit briefly before was that putting the day to rest, like waking up in the middle of the night and trying to problem solving isn't helpful. Leave it for the day and the worries. See if you can find a set time and problem solve during the day. So when it gets to 3 in the morning, you just say, that's enough, get comfortable. Other things that are very heavily promoted is things like learning a relaxation technique, not sort of just picking up the paper, but a physiological relaxation technique like meditation and progressive muscle when you train your body to relax on command. That seems to be very useful and, again, a routine. Even if you don't end up falling asleep, it's very restorative. Exercise has been shown to be extremely beneficial. So like for everything, exercise seems to come in and good diet, but getting you know, some good quality walking in, maybe even sort of early in the evening, that can be useful as part of that winding down. So getting into the routine, the body knows it's a good safe place to go off to sleep. You're not overstimulated with TV and too many other drugs and alcohol, and the setting's right and it's quiet. And try and just curb that impulse to keep going with the thinking, even though you might be in very worrying times. It's just really a discipline and a practice to say, I have got all these worries. It's not good, but I'll think about them in the morning because I'm sure I will anyway. If you're not sleeping, get up. It looks like it's much more useful to get up and do something boring or a bit quiet for a while and then try going back to sleep. And also, perhaps not going to bed too early. Sometimes if we sleep poorly, you tend to think, oh, it's 8 o'clock at night, I'm going to bed now, but that'll just bring your wake-up time back. So if you go to bed at 8 o'clock at night, you're probably going to be up at 1. They're just some of the sorts of tips. There's lots more and lots of strategies here, and we'll put some resources on our website. But if you just want to look up something straight away, certainly Beyond Blue and Black Dog and organisations like that have lots of strategies and ways that you can help yourself.
You've kind of touched on that, Kath, but how does somebody know that they need help with this, and are there other places they should go to seek help?
Usually one of the best things to do, as we said, that sleep's a complex thing, and it could be other health things that are going on that are actually keeping you awake. So your GP is usually a good port of call. It doesn't ever hurt to have a general health check anyway. And it could be that, you know, you can have a general check and the GP might be able to pick up what's going on specifically, or do some extra test, or, again, just give you this sort of information that we're going through. Other than that, there's so much information online too. It could be, particularly if you're a remote area worker, as we all know, that do those sorts of jobs, there isn't often a GP easily available. So do a bit of research with it, because there is a lot to learn.
Psychologist Kath Walker, thank you for joining me in the Krana Plus studio.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much for asking me, and good luck with anybody who struggles with this area. It does take some practice.